This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, researchers at the Cincinnati Zoo have found an easier way to reproduce endangered cats. Ann Thompson will tell us about it and focus on technology. But first, the heroin problem has reached epidemic levels nationally as well as here in our region. Hamilton County saw more than 170 deaths due to drug poisonings last year. Several health and law enforcement agencies in the county recently joined together to form the Hamilton County Heroin Coalition. Joining us to discuss the heroin epidemic and how the coalition proposes to reduce the problem are President and CEO of Prevention First, Mary Haig, and Barnum, who is Interact for Health Senior Vice President of Community Strategies, and also Steve Walkenhorst, who's Vice President of Patient Services with the Center for Chemical Addictions Treatment. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Steve and Mary, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here.
And tell us how bad this has gotten for the Cincinnati area.
Well, you mentioned the heroin deaths of 170-plus last year.
Which is a very disturbing number. Yeah.
It is very disturbing. But even more disturbing is the fact that that doesn't include the opiates, which are prescription painkillers, and the combination of drugs when people use those. And with that, we have at least one person dying every day here in Hamilton County. And in our 20-county region that surrounds Cincinnati, we have two people dying every day. And that is just staggering when we think about it. And it's not, you don't see it. You rarely see it listed in the paper as a cause of death. But on occasion, you will see something where someone's stepping forward to list that. Drug overdoses have accounted for the highest percentage of unintentional deaths in Ohio since 2007. And that means that we have more deaths from overdose in Ohio than we do from traffic accidents.
Do you think it's hard for people to grasp how really, I mean, people will generally acknowledge there's a problem with heroin,
mm-hmm.
but it just seems like it's hard for people to even get a handle on this.
Yes, it is. It's very difficult for people to look at it and to see because, and yet if they start talking about it, and that's what all of this, all of us getting on the radio, getting on TV, talking about it in the newspaper does, is that it brings it to people's attention so that people begin talking about it. I never would have heard one of my friends from out in the Mason, Anderson Township area talking about the fact that they knew someone who was addicted to prescription painkillers or heroin, before this past couple of years. Mm-hmm. But now I'm hearing that because people are talking about it openly.
Steve, from the treatment side of things, what's your perspective? What are you seeing?
We've seen a drastic change in people coming into treatment at CCAT for treatment for opiates. About 7 years ago, the trend started up. It was a lot of alcohol, a lot of cocaine back then, and now about 80% of the people who are coming to CAT are looking for treatment for opiates, mostly heroin.
Mm-hmm. Mary?
From the youth perspective, we know from our student drug use survey that we do every 2 years that most students are not using alcohol, tobacco, prescription drugs, or heroin. In fact, heroin is the lowest of all the drugs that we measured that is being used by 7th through 12th graders at 1.5%. We do track the prescription drug, and that's at about 4.5%. However, when we look at perception of harm for prescription drugs and heroin is extremely high. And generally there's a correlation between perception of harm and use rates. So we know that students do see it as very harmful and they aren't using it. However, those that do start to use heroin are starting at a very, very young age. And while, alcohol is the most abused drug, by young people, by adolescents, heroin is the least abused, and marijuana has surpassed tobacco as the second most abused drug. That happened in this last cycle. And of prescription drugs, painkillers and uppers are the most abused by students who do report regular use of opiates.
And let's talk about that. We're talking about what could be fueling this increase.
Right.
And causing this heroin epidemic. How much of a role do prescription painkillers play?
A huge, huge role. We know that we did a very well-intentioned law here in Ohio to cut down on the number of what we called pill mills. And those were offices where someone could go in and with cash just buy a prescription for opiates, for opiate painkillers. And they were started with the term clinics and essentially saying, well, this is where you can get rid of your pain. But they were not legitimate pain clinics, and they were closed down. The dealers took advantage of the new law, and when the pain clinics were closed down, then the dealer stepped in with cheap, readily available heroin that was not only just readily available, but brought to your doorstep by someone. So we've had this growth in heroin because the other drugs are more expensive and less readily available.
Steve, I heard a statistic that in Ohio, it's something like 80% of addicts started with prescription medication. Is that right as far as you know?
It sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people tend to initially want to know what they're getting. And so a 5-milligram Vicodin is always a 5-milligram Vicodin. And so you know what you're getting. You can take one, and then and when you need another one, you can take another one. And you kind of know what you're getting, and all the way till you get to the in the Oxycontin craze, if you were taking an 80 milligram Oxycontin, you knew exactly what it was. If you took two or three, you knew exactly what it was. The problem then came into play, as Ann said, when the medications became less available. And they were expensive. They were anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar a milligram, depending on where you were getting them. Folks then went to the $5 and $10 bag of heroin. And you don't have any idea what's in the $5 or $10 bag of heroin or how potent it is or how much it really is.
And what I was going to say is what we've seen from a youth perspective, substance abuse use and abuse starts to escalate into young adulthood. So while most students are not abusing, but if they are using alcohol and marijuana, it kind of setting their brain up to progress to their brain is more sensitized to other harder drugs in some people, because many people don't progress onto addiction. But those that do, there's changes in their brain that's happening that makes them more susceptible. On the other hand, there's also, another pathway to take is, maybe there was an athletic injury or something that caused a young person to have to take an opiate for whatever the condition might be or pain, and then they, may have that sensitivity to the opiate addiction, highly addictive substances, and then they progress on that path that way.
Mary Helm, how young are kids starting to use heroin?
Just from the
from
students,
it's
12 and a half, age 12 and a half.
That's hard to believe.
It's very young.
Very young. Mm-hmm.
And is there a difference between the heroin of today versus the heroin of the 80s, or is it no?
I think the heroin is the same. The what it gets mixed with may be a little different. You've seen in some of the reports that heroin gets mixed with a variety of things. That's why Steve said it's, you don't know how pure it is. So if it's mixed with fentanyl, another opiate, then the reality is that it becomes very toxic. And you don't know. As a matter of fact, the dealers call that type of heroin when they're selling it toe tag, because it can lead to death so frequently.
So prescription painkillers are one of the gateway drugs into heroin usage. What are some of the other things that are fueling this increase? There has to be more to it.
Well, I think that the availability is a huge thing. the availability of prescription drugs. I mean, it's still prescription drugs, but it's not just, oh, I'm using them, but the availability of those. Our cultural stance around taking drugs. You can't watch a TV show without seeing an advertisement for drugs, prescription drugs, on that. And that leads us as a culture to this attitude of, if I feel bad, then I take something to make me feel better. As opposed to, if I feel bad, maybe I need to, do some stretches or take a nap or go out and run or do something that's healthy for me to get myself feeling better. Maybe I need to go talk to some people and I'll feel better about whatever the situation might be.
Or take a non-narcotic painkiller.
Aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen. They're great drugs, you know, and if you want to have a pain, you can easily take those. As a matter of fact, they're many times better pain relievers than the narcotic pain relievers.
When people are experimenting with drugs and alcohol, they're looking to alter their mood. That's the only reason people use them, is that they change their mood. They change how they feel. And so we learn very quickly that if I feel a certain way and I put this in my body, it quickly changes how I feel. And then folks they've learned that and they can kind of become dependent on that. They know that if they have access to, whether it's alcohol or, you know, caffeine or whatever it might be, that this is the result I'm going to get. If you take some of these, drugs long enough, you will become physically and psychologically dependent on them. And when you try to stop them, you get very, very sick. And then what you know is, if I take this again, it makes the sickness better. And that's really kind of the trigger with heroin.
And then I would add, we almost had the perfect storm with this whole problem that we have today. I think that in the first, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when physicians and healthcare providers were expected to take care of the fifth vital sign of pain and manage that so that customers, patients were satisfied, then the pharmaceutical companies stepped it up to produce those, you know, medicines that would take care of that. Very, very highly addictive, high potent, strong opiates that we've not seen in quite a while. Then on top of that, so it's almost like a vicious cycle then that we've created with taking care of pain. We've got the best medicines to do it, and then creating that cycle of addiction with it. What was the other thing I was going to say about that? Let's go on. That's my train of thought there.
Well, and I would say, I mean, I think it's really important for people to know that there are people out there who need to be within a pain management clinic, who need to take these drugs. They are very good drugs for very specific purposes.
Right.
But everybody who has a tooth extracted probably doesn't need 30 of them. And I'm sorry, dentists out there, I've just picked on you.
But. Well, and then my thought that I found again was that then encouraging, and this kind of leads us into prevention strategies, is encouraging physicians and nurse practitioners and healthcare providers to screen for patients who are already using or have been abusing, or if they have that tendency, maybe they overuse alcohol, which would put them at a higher risk as well. So that's another thing, piece of the puzzle, is being really aware of who's using what, when, where, why, and how.
So part of what happened is we have a lot of people with pain, and a lot with legitimate pain, who are going to pain clinics or going to pain doctors, who are getting pain pills, pain medication, and it does a really good job of managing pain. But the other aspects of their lives are out of control. So when you get to treatment, then you get into the biological side of it, the psychological side, and the social side of how to live and how to manage pain and how to change your mood, kind of thing, as Anne was getting back to. So the medication will do exactly what it's supposed to do. But there are some things that you can learn in order to give yourself some, you know, some ability to manage pain and to change how you feel and some of those kind of things as well. But that's treatment. And again, people that have chronic pain were going to get medication to manage their pain symptoms only. There's way more to treatment and getting well than just medications.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about the Hamilton County Heroin Coalition and its plans for dealing with the area's heroin epidemic. My guests are President and CEO of Prevention First, Mary Haig, Ann Barnum, Interact for Health, Vice President for Community Strategies, and Steve Walkenhorst, Vice President of Patient Services with the Center for Chemical Addictions Treatment. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And despite the rise in heroin deaths, Ann, are we having an impact? Are things starting to improve?
I truly believe that they are.
Yeah.
We are gathering as communities to help develop plans to solve the problem. There is not one single solution that is going to solve this. Every community member can have a place where they can fit in the solution, but a solution will involve things like reducing the supply of narcotics out there, whether those are by prescription or through law enforcement, and reducing the amount of heroin, reducing the harm from that is caused from people using these drugs, prevention or health promotion in relation to substance use, and making sure that people are taking drugs in appropriate ways, and the treatment of addiction once it's developed. At Interact for Health, three years ago, we gathered a group of people together to talk about how we might get Narcan out in the community. And that group led to efforts as a community to come together in Hamilton County to develop a comprehensive plan. At the same time, Northern Kentucky was doing the same thing around a comprehensive plan. And now there are plans that are going to be released in Claremont County at the end of this month and in other counties over the next year or so.
Well, tell me about the Hamilton County Heroin Coalition. How did that come into being?
Well, the Hamilton County Heroin Coalition came into being when Commissioner Greg Hartman saw that this was a real issue, and he pulled together a group of people to develop a coalition. That happened just this spring. But before that, a group of community members had been meeting and developed a plan that was ready to hand to Commissioner Hartman and say, here, please take this and run with it. And in developing what was going to happen here.
So who are the partners in this organization?
Who's in the Hamilton County Heroin mm-hmm. Coalition? In the Hamilton County Heroin Coalition, we have people from prevention, the folks at the Hamilton County Health Department and Prevention First. In treatment, the Hamilton County Mental Health and Addiction Services Board and the treatment providers like CCAT and Talbert House, the police chiefs and sheriff here in Hamilton County, and we'll be talking about that in the next segment, and the fire chiefs and other folks who are interested in reducing the harm, who are some of the first responders to this. That includes the University of Cincinnati, College of Medicine, and then Interact for Health is sitting at the table as well. And we represent those community members who originally came to the table and developed the plan.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. Let's talk with Matt in Loveland. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Um, I, I was just going to make the point that I had a very close friend since kindergarten. We were roommates in several different apartments in several different cities, and he stepped it up from using pills recreationally to actually using the heroin as a lifestyle. And I had no idea what was even going on. His behavior changed drastically, and I just wrote it off as, well, you know, we're getting older, we're growing up. But it turned out he was actually using a lot right under my nose, and I had no idea. So my point would be, you know, maybe know what the behavior is, know what the symptoms are, so that you can look out for somebody you know close to you. You may not even know that they're using, and they are.
That's an excellent point. There also, people miss that the impact of heroin is not just on the person who's using, but on their family and friends and so on and so forth. And so for family and friends, they really need support as well. There's, you know, Naranon and Al-Anon available for folks where they can get some experience, strength, and hope from people who've been around it and understand how to, you know, how to manage their lives without trying to control the person who's active addiction's life as well. But the symptoms are, you know, what you're talking about is very common. It's erratic kind of, behaviors, things that are very different. If you establish a baseline, kind of how folks are, you've known this person forever and all of a sudden they're different. It may be addiction. It might not be, but it's something is going on. And so at that point in time, it is the appropriate time to talk with them and find out what is going on. We don't want to assume that everybody who acts a certain way or does a certain thing is addicted at that point, but certainly something's going on and they deserve to have some kind of an intervention. But also, make sure you're taking care of yourself. This has got to have an impact on you as well.
I would just say too, a simple question as Steve alluded to is, you know, I care about you. You're my friend. And I noticed something, be specific about what you noticed was changed. And you can draw him or her into a conversation to, find out what's going on back behind that behavior and then be able to offer help and support to move on.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Now, Ann's going to be back in the second half of the show, and Mary and Steve, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay.
President and CEO of Prevention First, Mary Haig, Ann Barnum, Interact for Health, Vice President for Community Strategies, and Steve Walkenhorst, who's Vice President of Patient Services with the Center for Chemical Addictions Treatment. Coming up, more on dealing with the Cincinnati area's heroin epidemic, and Focus on Technology explores an easier way to reproduce endangered cats. And we'll get to your phone calls. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.